Unfortunately, it's quite a hard sort of a topic, so people do it as the very last thing if they really can't avoid it. So some examples where interface effects are very important. Raindrop chemistry then, because of the size of the raindrop, we need to understand what's going on at that boundary between the gas phase, the air, and the liquid. Gas transfer into the ocean, so there's been a lot of action recently on ocean acidification here in the Great Barrier Reef, and that's involving then CO2 transfer into the ocean, acidifying the upper layer. Aerosol chemistry, so if we're looking at smog chemistry, there are two components. There's the gas phase component, and then there's the solid component, and the two operate synergistically to create health problems. So we need to know a bit about what's going on at the gas-solid interface for these aerosol particles or the gas-liquid interface for the aerosol particles, depending on the nature of the aerosol. Remember, if we've got some industrial plant and it's spewing out sulfur dioxide, then that'll end up as sulfuric acid aerosol, which will be a liquid. But if we've got an industry which is burning some material, it ends up as particulates that contain some metals, then there's a gas-solid interface. So turning first of all to raindrops, if we take a fully saturated sort of air, 1 gram per meter cubed, then the actual amount of volume that the raindrops occupy in the air is low, 10 to minus 6 to 1. Your gas has to be particularly soluble to be found primarily in the water. You remember Henry's law with this one here, concentration in the aqueous phase equals Henry's law constant times the partial pressure of the gas. Unless this Henry's law constant is a big number, then the material won't be found primarily in the liquid phase, it'll be primarily in the gas phase. So in the case of hydrogen peroxide, this is a very big value for the Henry's law constant, and as a result, this would be a material that would be found primarily in the aqueous phase. Now, a common question is, how can we get effective concentrations inside a raindrop which are higher than those predicted by Henry's law alone? Remember, this is equilibrium law, Henry's law. So saying if we put hydrogen peroxide in contact with water, then the amount that will be found in the water, if we give it a reasonable period of time, will be predicted by Henry's law. If we get reaction on the inside of the raindrop, that then increases what we would see as the amount of hydrogen peroxide going in. The example, which has come out of your textbook, we take formaldehyde. It'll have a Henry's law expression, which will enable us to calculate how much formaldehyde would go inside the raindrop. Now, the assumption with Henry's law is once it goes inside the raindrop and is aqueous, okay, it equilibrates at that level. But actually, if we get a subsequent reaction that takes that formaldehyde and turns it into something else, then Henry's law then says, well, there's not enough formaldehyde in the raindrop, so more will go in. So that's what's going on here. Formaldehyde is reacting inside the raindrop to form methylene glycol. Remember, glycols are diols. So this guy then is just the simplest one of these glycols. Now that has got an equilibrium constant, products over reactants. This would strictly be a K sub C, equilibrium constant based on concentration. Now if we combine Henry's law with the equilibrium constant expression, then we get the total expression down the bottom. Our total aqueous concentration of formaldehyde then equals our Henry's law expression, which is where the 1's coming from, plus this additional term due to the equilibrium constant, which removes some of that formaldehyde and turns it into methylene glycol. So it's quite a simple sort of concept, and you make sure you go over it because it's a pretty standard sort of exam question.